Well, good morning. This morning I will be speaking on worship, on our call to worship. And that's a good story that you used for your example, because in the account of our Lord's birth, it talks about the shepherds coming to worship, talks about the angels worshiping, and the magi, the wise men, coming to worship. And this was all part of their created purpose, and they knew that they were coming to worship their God, and that they weren't worshiping just simply a man. When we were away, we had some very nice weather, so we were able to be outside quite a bit, and we did a little bit of hiking and sightseeing. And when we were hiking, Andrew and I went on a bit of a hike, and it was fairly long and tiring, and you could say a little bit strenuous, I guess. But, you know, when you're suffering, as it was, you can still see the beauty of God's creation and be thankful for it and worship Him, worship the Creator for His creation. And you can be encouraged by the strength that you get even when you're weak. We all go through periods where we have physical ailments and maybe emotional pains that we go through, and we can lean on the Lord for strength and for comfort, but also, are we willing to give Him worship in those times? And that's not always as easy. We're always willing to come to seek His strength, but are we willing to rejoice even in our pains? In Deuteronomy, I'll be reading from Deuteronomy 6, and I'll be reading verses 4 to 14. Now, verses 4 to 9, this is a very familiar Jewish devotion, and in it you've probably read it a number of times, and Jesus quoted part of this in the Gospels when He was asked, what was the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. We then read in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, the call to worship the Lord your God in fearful service. Now, this is all part of our created purpose, to honor our Creator willfully, to willfully worship Him alone in sincere praise. This activity is not something that is forced upon anyone. You're not forced to worship Him. But as born-again believers, you desire to worship Him. And we'll look at why you must be born of the Spirit in order to worship the true living God. And so if we read in Deuteronomy 6, and verse 4 to 14, and verses 12, 13, and 14 are the ones that I will be spending more focus on. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is just as Bible for Children is doing. You're supposed to teach them at a young age so that they may make that decision. And then we continue in verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have all eaten and been full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shall swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. And here in verse 11, it talks about all these blessings that God promised to Israel. And he says that they partake of all of them, but it wasn't of their own hands. It wasn't of their own doing. They were going to be blessed. But how often we look in our culture, we are blessed greatly. And do we think it's always from our own hand, or are we giving thanks to God for that blessing? Because he gives a warning. In verse 12, he says to beware. And in verse 14, why? To not go after those gods. But verse 13 says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. We are to fear the Lord, which means to revere him. That's what the fear of the Lord is. To revere, to love, adore, and respect him. We are also to serve the Lord out of that fear, which means to work or to labor. Even in pain, we are to labor for the Lord. This is what true worship is, a fearful service. It is also to be the labor of our love. When our Lord Jesus walked this earth, veiled in the flesh of man, he did so in fearful service as well to his Father above. He was doing his Father's will. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and was at his weakest point physically, he boldly rebuked Satan and declared that man is to worship God, to worship the Lord God only. Matthew 4, verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How many things in our lives and in this world does man serve? Which leads us into why we are to worship. We know who we worship. It's the Lord God only. Throughout the Bible, we read of faithful servants praising and worshiping the Lord. And the book of Psalms is a prime example of this. It is packed with worship songs to our King. Psalm 72, verse 15 says, prayer also shall be made for him continually. That means without ceasing. Just as our prayer is to be without ceasing, so our worship is. And daily shall he be praised. And in verses 18 and 19 of that same psalm, Psalm 72, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Similarly, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and to 18, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To worship God is to fulfill his will. That is the will he has for us. That's the reason he created us. But sinful, unrepented man will never worship God because they don't desire God's will. They desire to fulfill their own will, to do what is pleasing to them. And that is why we need to be born again in order to worship God, to seek him first, to have that desire in our heart to serve him. In Revelation 5, John tells us, gives us this picture of all of creation that hears the worship given to the Lamb. But it doesn't say that they participate in that worship. Only those who had given themselves and were decided to serve the Lord. Revelation 5, verses 11 to 14, it talks about there's four beasts, four creatures that are serving God, and the 24 elders, and the many angels. And it also talks about all of humanity seeing that, and yet they doesn't say that they all participate. In Revelation 5, verse 11, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. For every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, and that are in them, heard I saying. So here he lists those in heaven, earth, and under the earth, in the sea. They heard him saying, "Blessed, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. This is a scene in heaven of the worship to the Lord, to the Lamb of God. And we worship the Lord God because he is worthy, as it says. He alone is worthy. There's no man or creature or creation, no statue or building, no created thing that is worthy of our worship but the Lord God himself. Later in Revelation, when all is revealed to John in chapter 22, he's, after this angel has been telling him of these things, he falls down, he wants to worship the angel, because as we know in the Bible, the angels were always of such great, they were always in awe of them in a sense. They would always fall down before angels. And this is still a created being. The angel says that they are just a fellow servant with man. Because in chapter 22, verse 8 and 9, we read, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." And then he simply declares, "Worship God." This angel rebuked John for wanting to fall down to worship him and told him, "It is just God alone that you are to worship, for he is just a fellow servant." John also sees this worship in Revelation 4, verses 8 to 11, which parallels the vision that Isaiah has in Isaiah 6. This picture of seraphims, which is a type of angel, heavenly angels that we read about, that have six wings. And they are created for the sole purpose of worshiping God. They are dedicated to the constant worship and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." After they give glory and honor and thanks to God, then the 24 elders fall down before the Lord and worship, casting their crowns before the throne. And in Revelation 4:11, it tells us why. "Once again, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It's of the pleasure of God. It's a powerful scene in heaven that we can't really imagine in our own minds. We can only take from what the Bible tells us. That is the limited understanding we will have. But we know that we were created beings for worship of God. And so in so doing, we fulfill his will, his precepts, and he takes pleasure in it. So how do we fulfill that mandate in our daily lives, to worship our Lord? And where are we to? Where are we supposed to worship God? Well, it needs to start with that change in our heart. And that change within our heart needs to be reflected outwardly, in our outward actions, in how the way we speak to one another, in how the way we conduct our lives. In doing so, we worship our Lord when we follow after him. We must humble ourselves in repentance to the Lord. We all fall short. We know this to be true. But God is loving and gracious, and he is willing to convict us into a right relationship, to turn back to him, to trust in him as our Savior, and be born of his Spirit. For it's by the Spirit we worship, and we need a right spirit within us to do so. When Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, a familiar account that we've read before, when he speaks to the Samaritan woman at the well, he's talking about the living water that he will give. And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit that we are to receive. Jesus goes on in John 4, and he to talk about how and where he is to, where she is to worship, because she asks. After Jesus tells her of the living water, in verse 19 of John 4, the woman says unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is in the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall not neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. He's speaking to her as a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans, they were of Gentiles, they weren't given the law to live by. And then he continues, We know what we worship. Jesus speaking as a Jewish man of the knowing, receiving the law. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's no differentiation between Jew and Gentile. He says true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is the call that God has given us. We come here every Sunday to worship our Lord as believers together. And we are called to do that. That is right. That is good according to God. But that's not where our worship ends. For like our prayer life, our worship is to be constant without ceasing. For it's not in a specific building or at a specific time that we are restricted to worship God, but it is in spirit and truth. We are a spiritual being. We are to be worshiping God constantly. Philippians 3 verse 3 says, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The more you crucify that fleshly part of us, the one that causes us to sin, that desires the things of this world, the more that we get rid of that, ask the Lord to cut that out of our lives and live by the Spirit, the more we are willing to worship him and be constantly in worship with him. By the Spirit we worship with true and repentant hearts. And once that takes place within, our outward appearance begins to reflect that in word and action. We humble ourselves by bowing in prayer. We speak and sing praises to our Lord. And we give glory to God in all situations, wherever we may be, in our workplaces, at home, in our family lives. We are to be constantly giving glory to God. And in order to worship, we must also know the truth. Truth resides in God's word alone. In fact, Jesus is the truth. As he says, he is the word. John 8, verse 31 and 32 says, Then saith Jesus to the Jews, which believe on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. It is the truth that sets you free, not some internal enlightenment or some other external force. It is the truth of God alone. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. It is through the truth of God's word that we are free to come to the Father. And if we're free to come to the Father, why are we going there? For one purpose, to worship. To worship God as the angel instructed. So why do we need to look at this importance of worship? Why do we need to understand the significance of this? Well, one, it's our created being, our purpose. But two, to keep us from worshiping something other than the Lord God. If we look back to the opening text I had in Deuteronomy, If you go back to Deuteronomy 6 and those two verses that I mentioned in verse 12 and 14 of a warning. See, verse 13 was the call to worship, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him. But in verse 12, it says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And in verse 14, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. There's a warning that when we take our focus off of God, when our worship is not towards him, we are going to be worshiping other things, created things, man-made things, and create and even worship man himself. This, we read of a parallel structure of this warning of worship and then warning in Joshua 24, verse 14. We know that Joshua was the one that led the Israelites into the promised land, and after God had given them victory over all these enemies and had blessed them with much, in the last chapter of Joshua 24, verse 14, we read, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. That's the worship. We are to worship. And now the warning. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. God had blessed them greatly. And so often we read in the Old Testament when Israel is prospering that they turn to idols. And we always think of idols as just the wooden structures or things made of stone. But there are things in our lives that can become idols if we put our focus purely on them, if they divert our worship to God. It says that we are, in Joshua, it said that we are to serve in sincerity and in truth. Sincerity means to be complete, whole, and without blemish. We can be only whole and without blemish with Jesus, because he's the one that takes our blemish away, and he is the one that completes us. And truth means the sureness, the faithfulness, and reliableness. The word of God has to be reliable. It has to be truth in order to believe. We are made complete in Jesus, and once again, he is the truth. And if we are not willing to give our Lord undivided worship, then we become ineffective servants and cannot fulfill his mandate to preach the gospel to the ends of the world, to be that salt and light that he calls us to be. You know, if you've ever flown, and we had to fly to go into the States there, you're always given that warning in the, or kind of that preparation before you take off. They go through the safety instructions, and they, nowadays it seems like no one pays attention or anything. They've all heard it before, I guess. I'm not sure. But they always tell you, you know, first of all, fasten your seatbelt. Hopefully everyone knows how to do a seatbelt, so they kind of go through that pretty quick. And then they tell you where all the exits are. That's probably good information to know if you happen to be in some sort of crash and need to get out of there. And then they always tell you that if the cabin loses pressure, that an air mask will come down and that you're, what do they say? They don't tell you, you know, get up and run around and try and get off the plane. They don't even tell you to help the person next to you first. And there's a reason for that. They tell you to first secure it around yourself. And the reason for that is, it's not for selfish reasons. It's because if you don't secure that around you, then you're of no value to anyone else around you. And in fact, you become a liability or a detriment that needs to be saved as well. And that's kind of the message for us Christians. If we aren't first receiving of the Holy Spirit to become productive servants for God, then how can we be that salt and light that he calls us to be? How can we be of service to him if we are not first willing to come to worship our God? We were created to worship in spirit and truth. But what are we allowing in our lives to divide that worship, to take our attention off of the Lord, as we read in the Old Testament? How often that happened, and in our lives today. And I can be guilty of that as well. Things that distract us. And there's many examples of it. What we need to do is humble ourselves before the Lord to identify those things that are distracting us. Give it up to the Lord and focus our worship on Him once again. To identify those breakdowns in our lives and replace them with God-glorifying ones. And this is a daily struggle. It's not always easy. But we are to daily be growing in God's grace, to daily crucify the desire to conform to this world and replace it with the transforming work of our Holy Spirit. It's only through the grace of God that we will properly serve our Lord. Psalm 119, verse 15 says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." The precepts are the mandates, the commandments, that which God has instructed us in how to live our lives. We are to meditate upon them, to consciously think about them and live them out. And it says to have respect unto thy ways. And the ways of God is a life of sincerity and truth, as we read, lived in Christ. Jesus is the one and only way to the Father, as we've read. And He alone is worthy of our undivided worship. And so may we take courage in God's word to know that we are imperfect beings, but that we are completed through Christ, and that God takes pleasure in our worship, in which we are to do daily and throughout our lives. And so may we continue to worship Him as we have, and continue to tell of His good news. Shall we stand for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise for Your grace and mercy. We thank You, Lord, that we can come here as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship You, O Lord, in a singleness of heart, knowing Your word, Your truth, Lord, that You have given us, and that we can bring before You the pains that we have in our lives, the sin that divides us from You, Lord, and that You take that away as well. And that through the strength of Your Holy Spirit, You give us strength to live a life, a servitude to You. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings of Your truth. We thank You for Your mercies. We pray, Lord, for those in travel. We think especially of Uncle George and Auntie Irene as they're down south, and Steve and Joe and their boys as they're back in the Ukraine. May You continue to use them, Lord. Use them in Your service. May You encourage them. We thank You, Lord, for bringing Jennifer safely home here. We pray, Lord, that You'd bless her and encourage her, as she's a blessing to us all as well. We thank You, Lord, for each member here, each person that grieves, that hurts, that You bring strength and healing, Lord. And we take great comfort in Your promises that You never leave us nor forsake us. And that when we pass from this world, when we trust in You, Lord, we abide with You safely forever. We thank You, Lord. We give You praise and all our worship to You, to Your glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.